The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "You are the Son of God. Command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he'll command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these things I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. If any of you know anything about sports, you know this, that you have to try to look for the weak point of your opponent. Good athletes know that. When I was 14 years age, I played Pony League baseball, Major League Pony Baseball, and the first year I was a pitcher. And they told us when we were 14, don't throw the curveball because you're going to be ruining your arm. But I didn't obey that. So before the season started, I was practicing the curveball, okay? Probably about 1,000 times. In that first game, I pitched a no-hitter. If you know anything about baseball, no-hitter means that none of them got a hit. And the reason being is because these kids had never seen a curveball before, and I knew it. So I took advantage of their ignorance. So every ball that I would throw, it looked like it was going to hit them. So they'd be bailing out. And we'd go right across home base, and KKK. It's not the Ku Klux Klan, but strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. If you know anything about baseball language, K means a strike. So I purposely perfected the curveball because I knew these other kids had never seen the curveball, and I was whiffing them right and left. I did my first class on debating when I was in seventh grade. And I just remember a brief summary of the class because it's 50 years ago. Is don't speak with vocalized pauses, este, este, este in Spanish. That's bad public speaking. But also in debating, look for a weak point of your opponent and go for the jugular vein. In other words, if you see a weak point there, go and knock him down. Finally, when I was a kid, I used to watch these intellectual programs. And there were the Three Stooges and Superman. The Three Stooges and Superman. Now, was Superman strong or weak? Hello? Always? He was strong almost always, except when he was exposed to the famous kryptonite. When he was exposed to kryptonite, he was as weak as anyone else. How about this? Was Samson in the Bible strong or weak? Always? In what element lay his strength? Really in God, but he made the Nazaretic vow never to cut his hair. So if he became a cholo, he was going to become weak, right? Weingarten's cholo, going to the Los Loquitos, the cholos of HG, okay? Ortigia, Las Chivas, yeah, every city got his own grupo de cholitos, huh? So he was strong when he had his hair. What happened? Delilah came and swept him off his feet, and they cut his hair and they poked his eyes out. And he was weak because he had disobeyed God and he cut his hair. That's a long intro into the topic today. The topic today is that of temptation. And you have a literary marked contrast between the first reading and the second reading. First reading, someone was tempted and fell into the temptation. Who was that? Hello? It was Adam and Eve, but especially Eve in the gospel, in the first reading today. Eve was tempted and she fell into the trap. The gospel today. Who do we encounter in the gospel? You weren't listening, huh? I have to read it again. A very famous gospel. But you were not listening, okay? The protagonist of the gospel is always Jesus Christ, amen? Always. However, there was an antagonist. Who was the antagonist, not the protagonist, but the antagonist was El Chamuco, as the Mexicanos say, huh? The devil. So the devil tempted Jesus. So Adam and Eve, they fell into the trap. Who won the battle, the devil or Jesus Christ? Can't hear you.
Jesus.
Amen, huh? Jesus won the battle. So we're in between the two extremes. There's Eve who falls into the trap, and Jesus here, we're in between the two extremes. So I'd like to go through some typical temptations, because we're all tempted. And the way that I'm tempted is going to be very different than the way you're tempted. I'm quadruple your age and I'm a priest. So the devil is going to work on me, going to be working on me in a very different way than you people. And your parents are going to have different temptations than you have. And when you're 40, they're going to have different types of devils going after you. So every time stage, there are devils going after us. So let me go through some common devils that go after teenagers. How many of you are teenagers? Don't be ashamed. No? It's not a mortal sin to be a teenager. No? We all had to go through those difficult stages of life. We adults, huh? And we made it. Oh, thanks be to God, huh? Okay. So listen. These are typical temptations of teenagers. You ready? Buckle your spiritual seatbelt because we're going to be going up Magic Mountain, huh? Number one, disobeying your parents. Oh, Father, I always obey my parents. As soon as my mom tells me to take out the trash, with a big smile, I say, thanks, Mom. I was waiting for you to ask me to do that. I know what you say. Sí, Mommy, al ratito, al ratito, al ratito, al ratito. Al ratito turns into 2 days, and the cucarachas are in... Hey, you're tempted to disobey. And behind that is, see, El Chamuco, yeah, devil. What's the fourth commandment? Obey your parents, right? You know, you've heard of the fourth commandment. I hope you are. Otherwise, you shouldn't be confirmed in a couple months. Second, teenagers are tempted to be lazy. Flocos. Ever happen? Hey, Lupita, get out of bed. It's time to go to school. Oh, un momento más, Mommy. Hit the snooze button, huh? Whoever invented the snooze button, his apellido, his last name was Floco, right? Yeah. Why did the man throw the alarm clock out the window? He wanted to see time fly. Okay. First joke I learned when I was in first grade, huh? But it was a lazy person. We don't want to get out of bed. We're lazy. What would happen if your mom says, if you get out of bed, I'll give you $100. Ooh! It's called the principle of motivation in psychology, huh? Third devil. The devil of drugs. The devil of drugs. Hey, come here! You know, in California, marijuana is already legalized. Let's go. Let's go for a shot, huh? You look kind of depressed. Come on, I got some. Let's go for it, babe. You ever hear of Elton John? A rocket man flying high as a kite, huh? You know what? What goes up goes down, though, huh? Depression afterward, huh? And even though it's legal, it doesn't make it moral, huh? You know the difference between legal and moral, my friends? Okay, abortion is legal. It's immoral. Slavery was legal up until Abraham Lincoln, right? Wasn't moral. So not everything that is legal is going to be moral. Ah, Father, don't be an old fogey. No drugs. And Paul says, don't fill yourself with wine, but fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Amen, huh? Four, the devil of lust. You know when the devil tempts us is when you're sad. When you're sad, you're depressed, you're in desolation, you really feel down in the dumps. You feel, as we say in the 60s, life is a drag. That's when the devil tempts all of us. And one of the most powerful temptations today, I spent three weeks talking to your parents about it. 3 weeks. It's the devil of pornography. Hey, everyone's looking at porn today. It is the most common website on the whole internet is porn. You know, everyone knows it, but no one talks about it except Father Broom. It's the easiest thing to get hooked on. You know, porn, it's more addictive than cocaine. Yeah. Yeah, the modern studies. Doctors, scientists have studied cocaine is powerful. Or crack, no? Crack, cocaine, huh? But pornography is even more gripping. And it's when you're in desolation, just go to the website. There's no one there. You got your cell phone. You got your tablet. Just dive into it and have fun. And before you know it, by the time you're 15, you are a porn addict. And I'm hearing a story of this cholo, who was converted, and he had multiple vices. And he said with tears in his eyes, I could overcome the drinking, I could overcome the drugs, I could overcome being mujeriego, or going after all these ladies, but I could not give up drugs. I could not give up pornography. Couldn't give it up. Everything but porn. And with tears in his eyes, he said, I can't seem to overcome this addiction. So behind pornography is the devil. Ask your parents to show you the copy that he gave them today. In 10 ways we can overcome the devil of pornography. That is what's dragging most people into hell now, okay? That's the chain is dragging many, many people into the pit of hell. We don't want to go to hell, do we? That's where the devil wants us to go. He wants us to go to hell. I could expound upon this topic a long, long, long time because this is the greatest moral evil aside from abortion and maybe homosexuality in the world. So many people are slaves of this. What else? You still have your chastity rings? Or did you throw it away? Hopefully you still have it, huh? Here's another temptation. Right now you're 13, 14, 15. Buscar un noviecito. Go after your boyfriend, huh? And you do it behind your mother's back. Your father's back. They don't even know. Your mom said, Where were you? Oh, I was in the church praying my rosary. And you were behind the barn smooching Juanito, huh? It's not exactly praying the rosary, is it, huh? So that's a temptation of the devil. Nothing wrong to have a boyfriend if you're a girl. Or a girlfriend if you're a boy. That's the way it should be. There's a time for everything. Hold your horses. A little bit later. Hold your horses, Juanita y Walupita. Hold your horses, no? There's a time for everything. Just wait. Hold your spiritual horses, huh? Be confirmed. Do your studies. You know, get your degree. And you get someone, God has someone prepared for you. Okay? But not today nor tomorrow. Father, my friends, they all have boyfriends. Yeah, but they're going to be getting pregnant within a year. Oh yeah, you all know one of them, huh? We're getting an STD, huh? And that's not a sacred theology degree either, huh? There's a big difference, huh? Hold your horses, hijita. Hold it. No big hurry. Only 14, 15. No quiere ser solterona amarga. Huh? Want to be an old maid, huh? Okay, what else? Here is one of the most insidious, common temptations among young people I notice. Not to pray, or to pray poorly. Like you ask this guy, you pray? Oh, yes. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and our Father who art in heaven. No. You got to pray? You got to pray with fervor. You got to pray well. Let me tell you this, something personal. I can teach you how to pray. I'm a teacher. I started teaching when I was 14 years old. I started teaching when I was your kid, your age. I taught the First Communion kids. So I have a lot of experience. So I can teach you how to pray, no brainer. But I cannot give you the desire to pray that I can't give you. And one of the greatest graces I've ever had in my life is I always like to pray, even when I was a small child. I don't think I ever met in 30 years a child that said, Father, I love to pray. So the temptation of the devil is either not to pray or to pray poorly. Let me ask this question. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember that? You saw the film of Mel Gibson? Where were the apostles? So Jesus was praying. What were the apostles doing? They were taking their siesta. Huh? Who was faithful, Jesus or the apostles? Hello? You're right. Jesus was faithful because he prayed, and he prayed well. You're not going to overcome the devil if you don't pray well. But if you pray well, you're going to beat the devil. Amen? Pray well, you're going to beat the devil. The devil is going to convince you, I don't pray. Why are you praying the rosary? That's for your abuelita. That's for viejitas. Huh? That's another temptation of the devil. I think all of you have had the temptation. Well, I'll pray later. Well, you know, I pray, but God doesn't seem to listen to me. Well, I prayed what seemed to be that infallible novena to St. Jude, and I still haven't received what I asked for. No? God, where are you? And the temptation is either to give up prayer or to pray less or to pray poorly. And if you do that, you're right in the hands of the devil. Right in the hands of the devil. Another temptation. How common is this temptation? Well, you know, I really know I should go to confession, but I'll do it next week. La semana que viene. You know you should go. See the door open? Priest is waiting for you. I'll do it next week. Then you don't receive communion. So there's a month without receiving communion. And what causes me a lot of suffering is this. Today in the Mass, I'm going to be giving communions, and others will come up to receive the blessing. I will give you my blessing, but I want to give you Holy Communion more than my blessing. Amen? I'm honored that you want the blessing of Father Broom. I'm honored. But I prefer to give you the body of Christ. Amen. What's more important? The body of Christ. That's going to give you strength. Another temptation. It's the devil of resentment. Someone hurt you, and you don't want to forgive. You're living with anger, with bitterness. And you're living a life of depression because you're not forgiving someone that hurt you. Many people, many adults, live with this constant attitude of resentment, which is diametrically opposed to mercy. Jesus says, be merciful as I am merciful. And two other temptations. The temptation of despair. One mother came to me the other day and said that one of her relatives, a couple of days ago, hanged himself in that hotel right near the 605 freeway, okay? At Lakewood Inn. He got a rope and he hanged himself. He committed suicide. That's what the devil really wants in your life. What did Judas Iscariot do? Remember that guy? Judas Iscariot was one of the followers of Jesus Christ. He gave in to despair and he went and he hanged himself. And as Jesus said to St. Faustina, the worst sin in the world is not to trust in his mercy. That's the worst sin. Of all sins, of all the sins, is not to trust in his mercy. And even if you've committed all the sins in the world, the worst sins in the world, you can still become the greatest saint if you trust in his mercy. Who was the first canonized saint in the Catholic Church? Any of you know? He was that thief right next to Jesus on the cross. That's the first canonized saint. He was a thief. He was a murderer. He was an insurrectionist. An insurrection means he was like Hitler. Insurrection means a guy that starts wars. He wasn't a goody-two-shoes. So no matter what we've done, God will forgive us if we simply say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I trust in you. And the last temptation, and this is a very insidious temptation applicable right now, is that when we are in Holy Mass, a temptation to talk to another person in Mass or to be distracted in Mass, that obviously comes from the devil. So hopefully, during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, you're going to be paying attention. It's 1 hour a week. There's 168 hours in the week. 1 hour of the week is for Holy Mass. So this is the most important hour every week for you people. Of the 168 hours, this is the hour that's most important in the whole week. So try to pay attention to the max. I'd like to end giving you a very powerful way to overcome the devil. Are you listening? Is to love the Blessed Virgin Mary. If you love Mary, you pray the rosary, you wear your scapular, you kiss your scapular, you say the Hail Mary. If you love Mary, then you're going to win the battle. Because Mary's going to crush the ugly head of the devil. So I've given you 10 typical temptations of teenagers. But never forget, the devil is out there. But Jesus Christ is much more powerful than the devil. Mary is much more powerful than the devil. So right now we're going to try to walk hands in hands with Jesus and Mary, and with them we're going to win the battle. Amen.